Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Becky.
Oh, so sorry about that.
That's okay. It's so good to be here. I'm so excited.
I'm glad
so excited to be.
I'm so glad to have you.
I'm so glad to be on with all my dance partners and everybody. It was so much fun to chat with, and now I'm actually talking to you live in person.
Yes, finally, huh?
It's very exciting.
You know, Elizabeth, this new album of yours, for one thing, the second song I played, Song to a Sleeping Child, now that's going to be aired on classical crossover stations in England, correct?
It is, yes. And we're going to have a music video of it, too, in the next couple of weeks. So, which we did with, like, a green screen thing. So it's really cool. So there's going to be, like, some animation in it and everything. So it's very cutting edge. So hopefully it will turn out well.
Yeah. The whole album is absolutely beautiful. Now, did you have training as an opera singer when you were young?
I did, yeah. It's actually really strange because, like, when I was growing up, I didn't know anything about opera. And, you know, I listened to pop music and I listened to Broadway. And I, you know, like to write songs just, like, myself on the piano and, like, picking out songs and stuff like that. And then when I was in music class when I was 9 years old, we were all singing scales. And, like, we all had to take turns singing scales, you know, by ourselves. And my music teacher said, well, Elizabeth, you're an opera singer. And
that's at 9 years old?
Yeah.
And wow.
I was totally shocked because I knew of opera, but I never once, you know, even considered doing opera or thinking that I was an opera singer. And so I said, like, are you serious? And she's like, yeah, you're an opera singer. That's what you are, which is just kind of a very strange thing to be told.
Especially at that age.
Yeah, it was really strange. And so she actually wound up taking us all to, you know, to New York City because I grew up near New York City. And so she took us all there to hear an opera, which, you know, I'd never heard. And I don't think pretty much anybody in the class had ever heard an opera either. And then I still was like, well, I don't think that I'm an opera singer. Really, I don't see why you think that. But, you know, she called my parents and she kind of like kept at me and kind of really mentored me and she got me to, you know, take piano lessons and eventually she got me a voice teacher and then I started singing some opera and I really, really liked singing it and it was just really exciting when I sang my first opera aria and so then I thought, well, maybe I am an opera singer and so
teacher knows best.
That? Yeah, I guess so. And so I wound up then going to study at Indiana University School of Music, which is, you know, an opera conservatory. But then I always still loved pop music as well, and I always still loved, you know, Broadway, and I still loved writing music. And so that's why I like crossover so much, because, you know, it's a way to combine sort of all these different genres, which is so exciting.
Wow. Now, this album, A Lovely Light, it was... the whole thing is the songs are Deems Taylor. So you are currently writing your own music for a lot of your newer songs. And
yes.
How did the record deal for this come about?
Well, it was really also like a very strange story because what happened was that I got into a competition that if you made it to the finals, you got to sing on PBS, on a PBS television show. And so I made it to the finals, and I actually got to sing for like 5 minutes on this PBS television show. And so at the end of that, you know, the show aired, and this was like 2 years ago, but I guess the show wound up, you know, being like rerun and stuff like that. So this record executive heard me, you know, on the show, and he contacted me. I mean, it was only on once, but I guess he heard like the replay. And he contacted me, and he said that he was looking for a singer for this album that his record company was doing, and did I want a record deal, basically.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so I said, well, sure, I definitely want a record deal. That would be great. And I told him, you know, about my own music, and he was saying, well, what we're doing is we're actually looking for a singer for a specific, you know, album that we already have in mind. And it was the lost music of this famous composer named Deems Taylor, who some people might remember, I mean, might know of, but I had actually never even heard of him. He was a composer like in the early part of the 20th century, and he was really well known in his day, and he wrote some of these songs at the end of his life that he never published, and he just like hand wrote them on, you know, sheet music paper, and then they wound up being in his attic, and they just were forgotten about completely. And it was only last year, I guess, his grandson, who's now, you know, like 50 years old, was going through this family attic and discovered these songs and gave them to the record company. And so they wanted to do them, so they basically picked me as the singer to sing them.
What an honor.
It really was, and especially since I'd never even met, you know, the record executive who who heard me and chose me.
That's amazing.
And then, but I had never even heard these songs, so I wound up agreeing to do the album because, you know, I wanted to get the record deal, and had never heard the songs. And so it was kind of like this, you know, arranged marriage or something where you don't know who you're marrying.
That's one way of putting it.
That's maybe a little dramatic, but maybe it was like a blind date.
There you go.
So, but I wound up, you know, hearing the songs, and some of them, like the song to a sleeping child, was really exciting because even though it was written, you know, over 50 years ago, you know, I think it really sounds like a song that, you know, could have been written yesterday in a way. So it was really exciting for me to hear these songs, and so I was so honored to be chosen to sing them. So
yeah.
It's just super exciting.
That is really something else. And I do want to say the music that you've been sending me to play on this program, the music and the lyrics, you write. Now, do you sit down at the piano and just how are you inspired to write a song?
Well, it's really like many different things really inspire me. But I think like, you know, I think they all definitely like every song comes from some kind of emotional time in my life that, you know, I feel like, oh, this would make a good song. You know, at some point, I say like, you know, I got to write a song about this. And so then I do sit down like usually at my keyboard and I write, but a lot of times it stuff just comes to me. Like if I'm driving or, you know, like at these random times, I'll just suddenly think of something and then I'll have to like record it on my phone. And I used to actually call myself and like record it on my voicemail before I got an iPhone. So it made it a lot easier.
Well, they are beautiful. Now, okay. Now,
thank you.
Back to A Lovely Light. This was your very, very, your first debut album, isn't it?
Yes. It's definitely my first record deal, and so it's super exciting because I'm getting to do, well, like you said, I'm getting to do the you know, music video and being on the radio in, you know, in Europe and hopefully Canada as well. But also I'm getting to do a concert in New York City for the album release. That's going to be April 15th.
Oh wow!
So that's really
exciting.
That's really great because, you know, a lot of people will hopefully be there and get to hear me. So that's really exciting for me.
Now, Elizabeth, I understand you're working on another album.
Yes.
And yes. When do you have any anticipated release date for this? And will it include some of your original music?
Yes. Yeah. The next album is definitely, you know, going to hopefully be like all original songs that I've written. And I don't have an actual date for now, but because of this album and because I've gotten, you know, more exposure with this, I'm now getting the chance to really show my original songs to a lot more people, so, you know, a lot more record people. So I'm really hopeful that in the next, you know, short amount of time, I'll have some good news about, you know, that album coming out. Because also the executive who did the Lovely Light album was very supportive, and he really liked my original songs when I showed them to him.
Who wouldn't?
Which I was just thrilled. Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Getting to know you a little bit, Elizabeth. You currently live in New York.
Yes.
Is that in New York City?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I live in New York City.
Were
I grew
you born
near New York City?
Were you born there?
I was born in Westchester County, which is just north of New York City. It's
okay.
Like north of the Bronx.
Have you pretty much lived in New York all your life?
Pretty much. I went to school in Indiana University, so that was just, you know, going to the Midwest for just a short period of time. But the rest of the time, I have been in New York.
Okay. Are any of your other family members in music?
Actually, yeah, my great-grandfather, who I never met, was actually, he was a cornetist, and he was in John Philip Sousa's band.
I know the cornet, and that's one way, a cornetist. I've never heard that.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that funny? I guess that's cornetist. What you call it.
It makes sense.
But yeah, sorry?
No, it makes sense to call it. Go ahead. Sorry.
So, yeah, but I mean, I guess that's what my mom always says. I guess that's what you call it. And so he was in John Philip Sousa's band, and then he actually got a record deal himself as a result of being in John Philip Sousa's band. This was like in the 1890s, literally. And so he was signed to Victor Records, which is now RCA Victor. And there weren't even records back then. It was all, you know, cylinders, and they had them in the big, what do you call them, the phonograph, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
You know.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, really.
So that was, you know, a while ago. And my great-grandmother was, she was a musician. She played, you know, organ in, like, movie theaters, you know, back in the day when there were silent movies and, you know, they had to have an organist. So they were basically both musicians. So that's my musical, you know, relatives.
Yes, yes. Now, you play the piano, correct?
I do, yes.
Do you play any other instruments?
No. I've always wanted, actually, to play, I love the guitar, I love the flute. But the good thing about playing the piano is, you know, if you play keyboard, you can program it so it sounds like you're playing another instrument.
Well, a piano is such a basic instrument. I've heard that once you learn how to play that, beginning a another instrument is relatively easy. Well, sort of.
Yeah, I think that's probably, I mean, it is kind of like a fundamental instrument. And I actually do play recorder a little bit, just from, you know, being in school, and they taught us a little bit of recorder, which I really loved. But yeah, it's true. Piano is probably like my favorite instrument besides the vocal instrument. I just always loved the piano.
Now, one thing I read about you that I thought was very interesting, you sang the backup part for The Lion Sleeps Tonight when it was performed by the Tokens for their 50th anniversary. And you should sing that song on your new album, because I bet you the backup is just beautiful with your voice. That would be very interesting.
Yeah, well, most people don't even know that there is an opera backup to that song, but, you know, when you hear it, as soon as you hear it, you immediately say, oh, yeah, that.
Oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
It's true that, yeah, that you're one of the few people that has recognized that instead of said, wait, there's an opera part to that song? It's like, oh, yeah,
that?
Yeah.
It's in the jungle.
Exactly. They told me that that's supposed to be the voice of the jungle, which I never knew why there was this opera part. And they're like, oh, no, that's the voice of the jungle. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what it is.
That's cool. What type of music do you like to listen to?
Oh, I like to listen to so many different things. I think that's what's cool about, you know, classical crossover fans, I think, in general, is that they tend to have so many eclectic tastes. You know, they tend to listen to so many different styles of music, which I love. I think it's so exciting that other crossover fans are the same way. So I kind of listen to everything from, like, the Beatles to Enya. Of course, like, I love Josh Groban, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I listen to classical music. I listen to some actual Indian music I really like.
You know, you are so right, though, too, what you said about other classical crossover singers, the wide range of the artists that they like to listen to. That's so true.
I've always found it interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
They always like a variety of music. It's just Evanescence, you know, the group that's kind of a hard rock group, and I really like them, too. And it's just interesting how many classical crossover singer, you know, classical crossover fans like that particular band. I just think that's really cool.
Is there anybody you would like to collaborate with in a duet?
Oh, wow. So many people. I mean, well, first of all, Pavarotti, we were supposed to collaborate, and then he died.
Oh.
So I don't know. I mean, he'd never met me, but I had written it down that we were going to collaborate.
Oh,
so,
that was a goal of yours?
Yeah, and I guess he didn't get the memo. So unfortunately, he went and died before we got to before I get a chance to meet him and tell him that we were supposed to collaborate.
Yeah.
But I'd love to perform with Josh Groban. I'd love to perform with him, and just really pretty much anybody that would be willing to perform with me, I would be thrilled to perform with them. So.
Okay, and here's an interesting question. What is your favorite experience in music?
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Well, I have so many favorite experiences that, I think the one thing that really probably is my song You're Still Mine, which I know you play a lot, which I am grateful to you for doing that. When I wrote that song, and I was just writing that like in my apartment by myself, and then I wound up sending it into the Armed Forces radio headquarters, and I thought maybe they would play it on, on Armed Forces radio, and instead I didn't hear anything, and then all of a sudden I started getting all of these emails from actual members of the Armed Forces, and they were saying, like, I really loved that video, and I said, great, what video? Like, what are you talking about? And it turned out that it had been chosen for the soundtrack for this Armed Forces tribute video, which a lot of people have seen online. And it was just such an honor to me because it was this incredibly moving video that I just couldn't believe, that my song had been chosen for that. And it was exactly kind of like when I wrote the song, I was thinking of the Armed Forces. Like, that was, kind of my inspiration for the song. And that's why I sent it to Armed Forces headquarters. But I never imagined it would actually be in this beautiful video. And all these Armed Forces, members would start contacting me. And then when I performed the song, I would sometimes perform it, with the video, like, in the background, like, just with the sound off. So it would just be, I'd be performing it sort of to the video. And people would come up to me, like, especially people who had relatives in the Armed Forces. And one woman, was just, like, crying hysterically. And she said, like, thank you, because she said I prayed for, like, I pray, like, her brother had recently died, and she said I prayed for an answer, and she said I feel like the song and the video was the answer for what I prayed. I mean, and that was just so, I was completely floored, and I mean, and she was really crying too. I mean, she was like sobbing, but she said I'm so happy because she said, like, I wanted this answer, and I feel like I got my answer. And that was just incredible. And then I realized, like, I wrote this just, like, in my little apartment, and it's just, like, how powerful music is, that it winds up bringing people together in such a way. And I can't, like, it's so amazing to me, like, how powerful music really is.
Yeah, it is. And what an experience. I mean, for you to be received like that, that had to be fantastic.
It was, like, indescribable, really. I mean, and I didn't know what to say, and so I was just hugging her because she came up and, like, threw her arms around me, and I just was like, wow, I don't know what to say. But it's certainly, like, when you think about people who say, well, if this, if one person has an emotional reaction to this, then basically it's worth doing everything. Oh. And I certainly realized, like, at that time, like, what they're talking about. It was like, yeah, it's worth everything.
Yeah.
For somebody to say something like that.
What a tribute. That's really a very touching story, and thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm looking forward to your new album. I will, in the meantime, be playing songs from A Lovely Light, and this whole story behind that is very interesting. How
thank you.
Found in the up in the attic and everything else like that.
Yeah, who would imagine, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're looking forward to having more of your music. And like I mentioned in the very beginning, you were one of our new artists last summer and have been one of our everybody's favorites, both mine and
our
listeners ever since. And you sound like a very lovely lady, and I appreciate thank you. I appreciate you taking the time with me. And so, being I messed up on the beginning, sorry about the introduction to this interview, but now I know. Is there any other, to end this interview, is there another song on this CD that you would like me to close with?
Oh, wow. Well, so you played Song for Sleeping Child. I didn't,
yes,
I did.
Hear
the beginning part.
When I was trying to get you on the line two and everything else.
Well, there is one song called Nay, My Years Are Tender, and I think it's...
17.
Okay, that you would know. and that's kind of one of my favorite ones from the album, too. But I'm so glad that you like it, and I will also, I can send you, you know, some new original songs as well that I've been writing and that have recently come out too.
Okay.
So I'm just glad that you like enjoy playing my music and
you
I'm
do
so
a
glad
beautiful
everybody enjoys listening.
You do an absolutely beautiful job in writing your music, Elizabeth. It's just
so
very
much.
Nice, very nice. Okay. Well, is there anything else you wanted to say when we as we wrap this up?
Well, I just a big hello to everybody who's just so much fun and who I enjoy chatting with every week. You guys are hilarious and
it's a great Facebook group.
People. I know. It's such a just really, really nice group. It's like every single person is the nicest person.
I know.
I don't know how that happens, but...
It's my extended family.
Yeah. Well, you hold it all together, Becky, and people respond, I think, to other nice people. So.
Well, and they like this music. And that's
yes,
what does
exactly.
it. Yes. Okay, Elizabeth. Well, thanks again for joining us, and we'll have you on again sometime. When your next
great.
CD is released, we'll have to preview that one also.
All right. All right. We got to do it.
Okay.
Good thoughts. Okay.
All right. You too. Thank you. So
thank
here,
you so much.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Here is Nay, My Years Are Tender.